law-abiding citizen. An action-packed justice boner with a little heart and a little smarts. Okay, so law-abiding citizen is an action-slash-crime-drama film. It was directed by Gary Gray, written by Kurt Wimmer, starring Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx. Came out in 2009. It is fast, extreme, a little tropey, twisted, incomplete, and heartfelt in intention. I'll tell you now, there's going to be spoilers, but very few, and they'll be at the end, and I'll let you know before I say them. So, the story is really about, I think, the story is about fate, and about nature versus nurture, and about the ability to change. And this is done through a lot of action. And the premise of the film being that a man is a man with a family, has his family taken away, and the justice system is not adequate in this case. It does not provide a satisfactory resolution to what happened, and he decides to take matters into his own hands. That's the setup for it. I believe that it is on this backdrop or this basis of heart. The thing, I mentioned it being a little tropey, so it does have a lot of cliche stuff in it. It doesn't go as far as getting cringy, I don't feel, but there's some stuff that's like, oh yeah, that's what's going to happen next, like I can tell. Or they're going to finish that line that way. That happens from time to time, for sure. But there's enough going on here that's a little different than other films like it that keeps it, I don't know if I'd say fresh. It's very formulaic, but it keeps it interesting. And one of those things is that you've got this kind of background of the family man who's on a vengeance streak. However, it's not with one individual. He's not trying to get back at one person or the perpetrators of the crime. He is trying to get back at the justice system. But not just get back. He's trying to teach them something. And I think that is one of those things I really like about the film. I first saw it right when it came out. So I was like in my early 20s. And thus was just like, I think, kind of the target audience for this. Where I was like, oh, it's got a little bit of this. And like, I wasn't ever into stereotypical action films. And this is one of this is a stereotypical action film in a lot of ways. But it's different enough that I still enjoyed it then. And I enjoy it now, but it's not as much, which we'll get into. So basically, Clyde, played by Gerard Butler, he goes to extremes in order to teach these lessons. I think it's really interesting, some of the chaos that he creates, because you wonder, where would there have been a natural end to this? How far would you have gone if everything panned out the way you wanted to? And then we've got Nick here, who is played by Jamie Foxx, who is, Clyde is our family man and Nick is our prosecutor for the case. And they have an intense relationship that they are tied together. And it's interesting, too, of just what they learn from each other or what they don't learn from each other in some cases. But, again, we've got this very stereotypical action film in a lot of ways, very formulaic, not the best. There's not a lot of depth here, but there's enough at times that it's like, oh, it's a little different. And there's enough heart in here at times too that it's like, okay, like you can relate a bit. However, for some people, I think you would need more character building, and this movie's quick. It gets into the action fast. It gets into the drama and the tension and the problems very quickly. And that's the ride it takes you on. There isn't enough character building here for some people to maybe relate enough to Nick in order to buy into this journey, whereas I was just like, yeah, I got it. Like, I'm here for it. I get it. And kind of just like those instant karma videos, like this I mentioned in the intro, this is just a huge justice boner. Like, this is kind of just very satisfying to see people get their just desserts. But then there's some twists and things flip on their head a little bit too. So it does keep you guessing from time to time, which is nice. Target audience, I would say people who just really like action films. If you're into something that's fast-paced, moving, you're not going to think too hard. There is that element of like karma and justice and all being right with the world. However, it's done from like kind of a vigilante perspective, but a very smart one. The vigilante, not the movie. Like I said, the movie has some smarts, I believe, but it could have gone more into that for sure. There's a little bit of concept and thinking here, but really not a lot. But there's just enough there to make it different from some other stuff, I feel. So it's kind of like an action with heart, is how I would put it. Again, I felt like me being early 20s was like the target audience for that, late teens. I think that you'll be like, whoa, this is bananas, this is so cool. And then like 10 years later, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, I like it still, and it's cool. And I also knew kind of what to expect watching it a second time, like so many years later. But also, I was just like, okay, like, it's not as cool as it was back then, because I've seen so many things since then. I don't relate to it in the same way, but I still related enough to it that I was able to enjoy it for sure. I would say that it's just a really cool entertainment piece for the most part. There is a little bit of thinking that can be had here, and that I like. There's a little bit of questioning things, morals for sure, and how much people can change, or why would they want to change or not change, and thinking about, again, nature and nurture, and about fate, and how those two things relate together. You can get more out of this film than just like explosions and violence and action-y things. So I think primarily it is that. It is just like taking you along for the ride. But if you're open to it, you can learn some things along the way. And there's some good fodder for some discussion too, or inner dialogue that you can kind of think about. I would say that it's on the middle of my shelf. Not something I would really rewatch often, and just kind of, I would just kind of like, yeah, it's cool to pull out every once in a while or show somebody if they're in the mood for something like that, which is what happened this time, because this is only the second time I've seen it in like 13 years. So, because I saw it in theaters when it came out in 2009, and I hadn't seen it again until now. So, getting into some spoilers, a very short section of spoilers, but here they are. I'm going to talk about the ending a little bit, because to me that's where a lot of these conceptual things kind of come up. So Nick, played by Jamie Foxx, our prosecutor here, he talks many times to Clyde, played by Gerard Butler. He talks to Clyde a bunch, and in a lot of these meetings he's, you know, I'm not a murderer, like, not a murderer like you. He's like, no, you're just the one who makes deals with murderers, and there's that whole thing, right? And we saw the family man versus the professional man who's too focused on his work in order to be with his family, whereas Clyde has made carved out a lane for himself where he can work for the government from his home. He can work for in essence, the same body that Nick works for. It is the same, like, government or whatever, in a way. And he's able to do it and stay there with his family and whatever. And he's very dedicated to his family, and Nick is not. And Clyde becomes a murderer. He was in a way for a long time, and yet still able to maintain a healthy relationship with his family. And Nick has certain ideas about murderers, and he wants to put them away, and kind of, but kind of not. But he himself would never do that type of dirty work, but he also doesn't spend his time with his family. So we've got these two parallels between the characters and some similarities there as well. But what I really want to get to is the fact that Nick, yeah, he calls Clyde out on being like this murderer, and I'm not like you, and like, you're a horrible person. However, at the end, he gives Clyde an opportunity to not do what he's about to do. Clyde is going to do it anyway. He makes the call. Jamie leaves. In essence, Jamie murders Clyde. he had this whole thing about never being a murderer. I would never do that. I'm not a murderer. I'm not this and I'm not that. And he effectively does murder Clyde. Like, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to put the briefcase there, right? He also says in that little speech and the interaction they're having in the cell that I don't make deals with murderers anymore. You taught me that. And at the end, we also see Nick with his wife at his daughter's recital. He's never been to one before. So in that way, I don't know how much Clyde learned. I mean, he got bested. And I think that that's where this whole thing... I mean, this thing comes up multiple times from... I don't remember the name of the perpetrator, or the main guy, Darby, I believe, who says, can't fight fate. Can't fight fate. And then that gets brought up. And to me, that also brings up this thing of nature and nurture with Clyde, who has had it in him all this time to kill people in a roundabout way. And make these little contraptions and be like a tinkerer and whatever. And he didn't really have too many qualms about it, it seemed. And that was part of his nature, maybe. And how much could he change? And it seems like he didn't. But Nick was able to make some changes in the end. I think there's this question for me of how far would Clyde have gone if he wasn't stopped? When would it have been done? Like, if he blew up City Hall while they had that meeting, would it have been done then? Because there was this kind of... they kind of alluded to me, it almost references Fight Club, of, like, resetting things back to zero, creating so much chaos. And Fight Club, they... spoiler alert for Fight Club, but I mean, like, part of what happens is that they're trying to blow up the credit card companies... and all this, and then everyone's debt would get reset back to zero, and it would create total chaos, but there would be, like, financial freedom, and possibly people not being slaves to their consumerism and capitalism and that aspect and stuff as much as they were. So that's the thing that's in there. And here, we've kind of got him being like, hey, I'm just going to wreck everything, and we're going to have to start the justice system from the ground up. And he, like, wants to teach people this lesson. He's like, this is not how we do justice. The system is bunged up. Like, you should have tried, you should have done this or that. And there's several places along the way where he expresses how messed up the justice system currently is. So I don't know when he would have stopped if he wasn't put to a stop. And that's interesting too. But I definitely think that those themes are cool to ponder on about the nature and nurture and the question of... change and how much someone can change as well. So anyway, I think that's all that I have to say about Law Abiding Citizen. It's a fun ride, and there are some cool conceptual things along the way if you're ready for them, if you're looking out for them, if you want to have those discussions or inner dialogue. Those things are there. They're just not incredibly strong, and the film is, I would say, when it's fun. Like, I mean, it takes you for a ride. It is entertainment with a little bit of heart, a little bit of smarts.